Today on Real Radio.
He remembers. No wonder Zechariah's name is encouraging. God remembers. Have you been praying for your parents? Don't stop. God remembers. Are you praying for your child's salvation? Don't stop. God remembers.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament narrative written by Luke. One of the ways this written series of accounts differs from the others is that it was comprised chiefly by interviews and investigations. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, continuing in Luke chapter 1, in a presentation called Preparing for the Coming Messiah.
And so he's in the details. How much so? Watch this. There was in the days of Herod. Oh, stop right there, comma. What does that mean? In the days of Herod, Herod was a very naughty man. The Jews said it was better for you to be his dog than to be his own son. He was vicious, dangerous, a tyrant. He was actually of a lineage, of a line of the Edomites. He shouldn't have even been alive based upon Old Testament commands. This guy was a very nasty guy, but according to Rome, he was a great success. Why? Because he knew how to manage the Jews. He wasn't of the Jewish lineage, but he faked it. And he loved the title of king. And the Bible says, there was in the days of Herod, king of Judea. That gets every Jew's attention. Why? Because there's this rogue leader as a puppet from the Roman Empire in power. And here's your first challenge, my friend, if you're a doubter of the Bible. Go find out and see if Herod was a puppet ruler ordained by the Roman government. Guess what you're going to find in secular world history? You're going to find Herod appointed as a puppet by Rome to preside over Israel. But it doesn't stop there. It says a certain priest. Will you mark that? A certain priest named Zechariah. Certain priest, whenever you see the word certain in the Bible, circle it. Circle the word certain. I love it. You're going to hear it a lot in the Gospel of Luke. Why? Because it's an announcement that God's leaving nothing to chance. I love this. God has arranged it in such a way that during the reign of Herod, when there was the time for the forerunner of Christ to be born, there had to be a certain priest. This is not left to chance. Neither is your life. And God has engineered a moment where this man would grow up and be a priest, and his name is Zechariah, and he's there, and he was a certain priest. That means God ordained specific man. It was God's plan. And look, he's an old man, as we shall see in a moment. And just because you might be an old man, or maybe you'll grow old to be an old man, doesn't mean that God's done with you. For you are a certain follower of God. In the count of three, can I hear your name nice and loud? Count of three, your name. One, two, three. I didn't make one bit of sense. Somebody got the word Jeff out. I did get that quickly. But that sounded like confusion to me. Did it sound like confusion to God? Not at all. In a sense, he's got an ear for each and every one of you who are Christians today. And if you're not a Christian today, he's got an ear for you, but it's silent. He's waiting. He's waiting. Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2 says that God's arm is not short that he cannot save you, neither is his ear deaf that he cannot hear you. But your sins have separated you from God so that he will not save you, nor will his ear hear you. He's waiting for one cry from the non-believer today. And do you know what that cry is? Lord Jesus, save me! And God says, oh, was that you? Even though I heard all of these names offered up in a mass voice of confusion, God hears your voice specifically. Do you not have a prayer need? If you're breathing, you have a prayer need. God knows every one of those needs before you even pray it, let alone him messing up the address of where to answer it. He knows you. You are a certain believer, a certain follower in Christ. And there was a certain priest that God had a plan for, and his name was Zechariah. Zechariah's name is a very, very beautiful name. His name means God remembers. Isn't that a great name? To name your kid God remembers. Well, God remembers was of a division of Abiah from the Old Testament, and his wife was the daughter of Aaron. You couldn't get any more priestly than this family. Because he is the lineage of Moses. Abiah came from Moses. And Aaron, I mean, look at that. You're talking about the priestly line where the Levites would come from. Or the Moses and the Levites, and then Aaron, the priesthood. It's very interesting. So you couldn't get more priestly than this couple. By the way, Elizabeth, her name means God's oath, or God keeps his oath, or the oath of God. So you've got Zacharias, God remembers, and you've got Elizabeth's name means the oath of God, or his oath. Isn't that beautiful? Can you see if you put their names together? Oh, look, why don't we have over tonight, God remembers his oath. That's their names put together. Well, the question arises, what would their names possibly mean? What is this God remembers his promise? I think it's his promise found in Psalm 89, verse 34 to 37. Psalm 89, 34 to 37, where God promises there to the lineage of David that he will never go back on his word. He will keep the covenant that he's made with David. And upon the throne of David, there'll be a descendant that will reign forever. Of course, that's a reference to Jesus Christ himself. God is in the details of our lives, my friend, and that's very important. It says in verse 6 regarding these details that this couple, they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Now, before you get defeated on this and thinking, man, that's one holy couple, I could never live like that. The word righteous before God means right before God. It means that God viewed them right before himself. Let me put it to you this way. When God looked at them, he saw them acceptable based upon their rightness. It doesn't mean that they were sinless. You say, Jack, it says blameless right here. That's not what that word means. It doesn't mean that they were sinless. It means because God saw their heart that wanted to be righteous, he positioned them as right. So right that God declared them to be blameless. It's not far from you and I in our position with Christ today. Are you sinless this morning, my friend? Oh, that was weak. Come on, this is your chance. Are we sinless before God this morning? No. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need our Savior, Jesus Christ. The beautiful thing is, does God not see in your heart the desire to be sinless? Yes. Do we want to be sinless? Of course. But we know that we won't be in this life, says 1 John chapter 1. Even though it's in our heart, we fail. But what does God do? God looks upon us and says, I see your heart. You want to follow my son Jesus? You want to follow my word? Your heart beats for righteousness and holiness? I declare you righteous, saith the Lord. And he does that based upon the finished work of Christ. And that's a wonderful truth of our salvation. And now we see that God is looking upon Zacharias and Elizabeth with very, very acceptable terms. They were walking before God. They were obedient to God. There's no doubt about it. And the Bible says, verse 7, that they had no child. Isn't this sad? But, that's a but. Circle it. But, or uh-oh, they had no child. Why? Because Elizabeth was barren, and they were well advanced in years. Translation, old, too old to have children on a normal plane. Keep a close eye to the details of God. Look at verses 8 to 10. It's not only the details, but notice God's timing. It's at the right time. Church, this is a hard pill for us to swallow. You know God's timing's always right. Do you know that? You say, well, Pastor, I want to talk to you after service because I think God's late. He's never late. God's never early. He's always on time. But see, when you and I start to evaluate what that means, I have found out in my own life, my emotion begins to dictate what is early or what is late. My emotions. The fear spikes. Data comes in based upon we don't know what. It's reported. Our emotions report something so quickly, but the truth is, after the dust settles, we see God's hand at work. And whatever is going on in your life and mine, God is at work. But its timing is always right. Notice this and we'll move on. He goes in to pray. That was the lot that fell upon him, meaning out of all the 24 orders of priests, there's 300 priests per order. During this time, the lot, that is the dice, fell upon Zacharias to go in and do this function. It's a rare moment for any priest. Very few of them got to do this. He's an old guy. God's timing's perfect. God is so behind the scenes and in front of it. He goes in. Zacharias is going to go in there, and on the outside of the temple, the people are to be praying as he offers up the incense, because what's being offered on the altar and what's going on outside is to be melted together in one harmonious act. Are you with me? Symbolically, the priest is offering up the prayers as a symbol of God's people praying. Outside the temple, God's people are praying. Everybody got that? And in fact, theologically, Zacharias is acting out the role of Christ, offering up our prayers unto the Father while the people are still yet outside. For the Bible says Christ ever lives to make intercession for the saints. That's exactly what he's doing. He's making intercession for the saints by burning this incense unto the Lord. It's something that had been going on for thousands of years prior to Zacharias' moment. But watch this. It's just exactly the right time. Well, not only that, verses 11 and 12 teaches us that it's under heaven's eye. It's under heaven's watch. I love this. Church, you got to put yourself in his robe here. This is fun. Follow with me, verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. The right side indicates God's favor. This is from God. A good Jew would know this. The angel standing on the right side. He's going to answer me. This is the right side is the side of authority. The angel speaks or stands at the right side of the incense, verse 12, and when Zacharias saw him, he was troubled and fear fell upon him. Now look, we read that in English and go, well, huh. Have you read what happens to people in the Bible, Old and New Testament, when they see an angel? They freak out. Daniel saw an angel and he got sick. He was physically sick for many days. When angels appear, people panic. We've got this concept that these angels of God look like the two little chubby fat angels in our bathroom, suspended over grandma's bathroom, suspended over the toilet, you know. There's these little big-butted angels with the little stubby wings, and they're naked with a little arrow. Like, and what do we call them? I'd like to have two of those cherubim, please. Little cherubs. Excuse me, cherub. Have you ever read what a cherub looks like in the Bible? They'll freak you out. They got multiple faces on their head. They got multiple wings. They're amazing. Then you've got these angels of a certain order. They seem to be higher ranked than all of them. You've got angels like Michael. Michael. Every time Michael shows up in the Bible, Michael's fighting. He is the prize boxer of heaven. Michael's fighting with Satan. You see Michael and Daniel fighting with the prince of Persia, another demonic entity. You see Michael fighting. Michael must be amazing. When Michael shows up, he has got to be scary. And then you got Gabriel. He's going to show up here in a moment. This is the one Gabriel. We're going to hear his name in a minute. Gabriel is God's public relations angel to the nation of Israel. Gabriel only speaks. He must have a wonderful voice, you know. I don't know. Does he sound like a commercial? I don't know what he sounds like. But he is something. And when he shows up, he speaks, and Zacharias is going to lose it. How do we know? By the words that are mentioned here, we read the English word trouble. The word in Greek is terazo. It means to be stirred up or agitated like boiling water. He was like boiling water on the inside. Zacharias was stirred up. He was terrified. And then the word fear fell upon him. It's like a blanket that would douse a flame. Fear fell upon him. The word is phobos, where we get the word phobia. And it means to be in great alarm and great fright, to be exceedingly fearful, to be on the edge of shock. So Zacharias, he's an old man. He goes in there and he's doing his thing and he's offering up the incense and he realizes there's an angel there. In an instant, his emotions are like a boiling sea, filled with fear and terror, and he's on the verge of going into shock when he saw an angel. Pastor, I want to see an angel. You do not want to see an angel. If I could just see an angel, I'll believe. No, you won't, because Zacharias, as we shall see in a moment, will see an angel and still doesn't believe. Oh, no, no, seeing is believing. Nope. It's not the way it works. This revelation is going to absolutely change the course of human history, and it did. Look at our second point this morning is this, preparing for coming Christ is that God's promises will never fail. Verses 13 to 20. In verses 13 to 20, we see first of all here in verse 13 that we need to act upon God's promises. Church, when are we going to get this through our heads? When am I going to get it through my head? We need to act upon God's promises. What's wrong with us? Please don't raise your hand because I would think it's all of our hands today. Don't you claim, as I do, to be a person of faith?
Yes.
Don't you want to convince yourself into thinking that we believe God?
Yes.
But you know what? I'm shocked about how little I do believe God. Pastor. Yeah, you know why? Because I claim to believe God, but I don't always obey Him. And that's a contradiction. The truth of the matter is, if God's promises are written in the Bible, and they are, then what's my excuse for not following them? Either A, I don't want to follow them, or B, I'm insinuating He's a liar. And He's not a liar. As a Christian, am I walking in obedience to God? It's either a yes or a no. If I'm not walking in obedience to God, then guess what? That sin's upon me, not God. Have you ever had somebody tell you, I don't know why God did this, because now look at me. Watch out! You're blaming God. Well, I don't know why this happened, because if I were God, if you were God, what? If you were God, we'd be in a whole heap of mess. No, see, if we don't acquiesce to God's dominion and God's rule, we are insulting Him that He cannot make His promises to be kept, that He doesn't keep His word. And the Bible says the opposite, that God keeps His word, and we need to stand upon and act upon the promises of God. It says, but the angel, verse 13, the angel said to him, do not be afraid. See, I told you people freak out when they see an angel. First words, do not be afraid. Why do you think the angel said that? It's not like he shows up, okay, I'm supposed to announce to you, don't be afraid. Anyway, next point. No, the guy was terrified. The angel says, don't be afraid. Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. Your prayer is heard? Well, wait a minute, I thought they were past childbearing age. Well, they are. You know what's beautiful about this? If you dig into this and find out about the Greek construction, the word usage of your prayer is heard, it doesn't mean that John went in and started praying, or that even if Elizabeth was outside in the air, outside the temple and she was praying. It doesn't mean that. Church, are you ready to be encouraged here? It means that God remembered their prayers. Our cynical question is, well, how far back? A week? No, the word is beautiful. There's no limit to when. Oh, you know what? I love that. Because you know what? I have to tell you. There was a time when I prayed for my dad, for example. I prayed for my dad for years. He so rejected the gospel over and over again. I got to tell you, I gave up. I gave up praying. I didn't have enough faith to keep praying. I just left it alone. I didn't share with him anymore. I didn't pray for him anymore. I gave up. I got tired. It was evident to me. I don't have the faith to continue in this. And it must have been close to 20 years of praying for him. But you know what? I'll spare you the details, but in the last week of his life, he came to faith in Jesus. I had the chance to lead him to Christ on the telephone. You know what? I cannot help but believe that God remembered my prayer and the prayers of my brothers and sisters. I can't help but believe, based upon this word, verse 13, make it your own. Are you praying for your children? Don't give up, because you know what? God is still hearing your prayers from the day that you started. He remembers. No wonder Zacharias' name is encouraging. God remembers. Have you been praying for your parents? Don't stop. God remembers. Are you praying for your child's salvation? Don't stop. God remembers. Are you praying for your boss or your loved ones or your employees? Don't stop. The Bible tells us, remember when Cornelius was praying? In the book of Acts, the Bible tells us that when the angel appeared unto him, the angel made the announcement, Cornelius, your righteous deeds have come before God, and your prayers have been as a memorial, and they have arisen before the Lord. When you pray, God remembers. Not one prayer that you offer is somehow lost. The connection is not broken. The line's not dropped. It makes it to the heart of God. Don't stop praying. How can we keep doing that? Act and stand upon His promises. His promise is that He loves us. His promise is that He cares for us. The Bible says that regarding those who love the Lord, all things work together for good. Stay at it. Don't give up. Well, the Bible here says, the angel speaks, that your wife Elizabeth's going to have a baby, and his name's going to be what? John. Are you ready for this? Do you guys remember what Zacharias' name means? God remembers. Elizabeth's name means His oath. You know what John means? Grace, or the grace, or God's grace. God remembers His oath. Grace. What a wonderful message. For this is the advent of the New Testament, the fulfillment of the old. And what is the announcement? It's time now, in just the right time, in just the right way. I, the Lord, have announced. I remember. I did not forget to keep my oath. What is my oath? Grace. Zechariah 4:6 announces to us that it's not by power nor by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. But the preceding portion of that is shouts of grace. Zechariah chapter 4. God keeps His promises. We need to act upon those promises. Verses 14 and 15 teaches us that we need to obey His word. Why? Because He's a tyrant? No. Why? Because He's hard? No. Please listen. The Bible condemns the man whom Jesus says that he was like an owner in a vineyard. And he leaves his assets to three servants. And he went away on a distant journey to return someday. And one man, he was given the investment of one. One man was given the investment of five. And the other man was given an investment of 10. And the man that had 10 and the man that had 5 went and used those things that God had given them, or this owner had given them, and they went and used it and they doubled it. The 5 went to 10, the 10 went to 20. But the man who had just what he had, instead of investing it, what does the Bible say? That man took it and he buried it in the ground and sat on it. So that when the master returned, he says, okay, I want to see what you did with what I left you. And the man that had 5 said, look, master, I've invested it, and now I have 10. And the man that had 10, he said, look, master, I've invested it, now I have 20. And Jesus says that landowner will turn to this one who had 1 and said, what did you do with what I gave you? And he said, I know that you are a very hard man and that you are austere and you're very difficult and you demand things that are not easy. And so I was afraid. And so I took what you gave me, I buried it in the ground, and look, behold, here it is. And Jesus says that landowner will say to that man, didn't I ask you to invest it? You should have at least put it in the bank and let it gain 1.5% interest, or 2 or 10. But because you sat on it, what was given to you and you squandered it, I'm taking away from you, and I'm going to give it to these guys. And the owner calls for his agents to come and remove this man and to throw him into hell.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called Preparing for the Coming Christ. It's a study taken from Luke chapter 1, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, we just recently wrapped up Pastor Jack's topical series called Life and the Bible. Man, if you heard any of it, you can well imagine that we've had quite the response. Well, you can still visit us at realradioactive.org and get your copy on CD or DVD. Again, it's called the Life and the Bible series. And you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be found at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous participation of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, You shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.